Paris 1926, an aging Mary Cassatt, eyesight failing, searches through the clutter of her art studio for a bundle of lost letters. The sight of them, bound in silk ribbon, fading and difficult to make out, takes her back to her fateful introduction to Edgar Degas and to the love and heartbreak that followed. In her new novel, I Always Love You, Robin Olivera, author of the New York Times bestseller My Name is Mary Sutter, tells of the tumultuous and passionate relationship between these two celebrated artists of the Impressionist movement. It's a great pleasure to welcome Robin Olivera to the program. Thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
What brought you to this topic for Fictional Fair?
You know, with me, it's always a single story I hear. And I was in Paris with my husband in 2009, and we were going to an awful lot of art museums. And somewhere in that track, I can't recall where, I learned that at the end of her life, Mary Cassatt burned those letters that she had sent to Edgar Degas and the ones he had sent to her. And, you know, that really piqued my curiosity because it was a significant portion of Impressionist history she was burning. And I wondered then what had actually happened between them.
It is quite a story because, as you say, I mean, she burned the letters that he had sent her. And then when he died, she got all of those letters that she had sent him and burned those too.
Yes. She was determined to keep private what had gone on between them personally. A lot of what happened between them professionally is known. He was a great influence on her, probably more than she was on him. He helped her a great deal. He invited her into the Impressionist circle. And yet the personal things, the letters that they wrote to one another, she kept hidden away from the world until just before her death, and then she obliterated them. And the other interesting thing is that she didn't burn any other letters between herself and her family or between herself and her friends, just these. And, you know, for years afterward now, people have questioned what actually went on between them.
So when you do research and you know you're writing a novel, how concerned are you about getting it exactly right to the point of what we know definitively?
Well, therein lies the question. You know, we don't even know what goes on in our neighbors' houses, do we?
Right.
People never fully reveal themselves to one another. So when you're looking back over the space of 130 years that have now passed since their introduction, it's rather impossible to know. So what has to happen is an awful lot of imagination. What I do is I imagine the emotional arc. But I also stick very closely as I can to the facts that are known. Historical fiction is different. People approach it differently. Everybody's approach is valid. Mine is that I don't want to violate what is known. I won't change where they were. I won't change what is true. But it's the in-between times, why what happened, that is of interest to me.
When you are doing the information, was there one item, was there one thing that struck you that you could hold on to and say, okay, I'm going to work off this?
Well, I didn't know that Edgar Degas was going blind. And I also didn't know that Mary Cassatt later went blind in her life. And in fact, many of the Impressionists did. Now, the reasons for that are varied and different. In Edgar Degas' case, it was probably macular degeneration. In other words, he developed what's known as a black hole in the sight, so that when he looked straight at things, he couldn't see, you know, what was right in front of him. And this started very early in his life, in his 20s. He blames it on the cold when he was on the lines for the Prussian War. Paris was under siege in 1870 and 1871 from the Prussians, and he actually went out and worked the lines defending Paris. He attributes it to that particular moment, but it's really difficult to know. But the fact that he was losing his sight was just a really wonderful thing for me as an author, because, you know, art is all about seeing, and he was losing that ability to see. It's extraordinary.
So for you, the item was glasses?
Well, yes. Well, See, the interesting thing was that he, his articles from his studio were donated to first the Louvre and then to the Musée d'Orsay later when all the artifacts from the Louvre and the Impressionists went into the Musée d'Orsay.
Mm.
And the museum has his glasses. So I went searching for them because I wanted to see how much trouble he was actually in. And there are several pairs of his glasses at the Musée d'Orsay in increasingly darker tones. It was an emotional moment to see those, as well as to see some of the other secrets from Degas' studio that are not on display to the public.
As you say, we don't know much, but we can assume just from the act of burning the letters and then burning any trace of the letters that she sent him, that it didn't end well. we can assume that much, right?
Yes, actually, you can. It was not an easy relationship.
Is it overly stereotypical to say that this is somewhat reflective of artists, of two personalities, strong personalities and artistic personalities that are going to clash at some point?
I guess you could say that there is a stereotype involving artists in that way. But my experience with other writers, for instance, going into another field, is that for the most part, it's pretty cooperative, at least in my experience. So I can't say that we can say, well, this is just what would happen between any two artists. They were singular creatures, both devoted to trying to make gorgeous paintings before they died, who were alike in many ways and different in others, and that sameness probably worked against them. For instance, Mary Cassatt had an excellent relationship with Berthe Morisot, who was a fellow artist and, as a woman, could have been, you know, considered a threat, but Mary Cassatt did not think that of her. So I'm going to say I never once thought about the stereotype when I was writing, and I think it's unfair probably to assign that to these two.
Mm. What then do you think drew them together?
Oh, they admired one another's work. Mm. Mary Cassatt knew Degas' work far longer before than she had ever met him, and she went to see his work whenever it was displayed. Sometimes it was just displayed in store windows, colorist shops, they called them, paint windows, painting stores that had windows that would display artist work. And he himself had seen her work very early on, before they met in 1874, and said that she's someone who thinks as I do, when he saw a painting of hers that he thought was exquisite. So they were devoted to art and admired one another enormously.
As a researcher, as a writer, when you've spent that much time with these individuals, not just in your artistic process, but in the research process and looking and handling these items, does it change the way you view their art in the future?
There's an enormous affection, of course.
Mm.
And I have to say, when I began writing this book, I couldn't tell a Manet from a Monet, from a Pizarro, from a Cassatt. I couldn't. I knew hardly anything about art history when I began, except that I loved Edgar Degas' ballet paintings. Now, when I look at their artwork, not only am I able to distinguish one from the other, because I looked at art all over the world while writing this book, but I also, I just know the stories behind those paintings now. I know the struggle. I know what they were trying to achieve. I know how rebellious they were considered in the art world in Paris. And so for me, each and every one, I know where it was painted and what happened in the personal life behind those artists. So yes, I'm completely affected now when I see their work, and, you know, we'll fly to see a new art showing of them, because it's extraordinary to see them in person.
Do you see a connection between the work of where one had an influence on the other?
Well, yes, they all influenced one another enormously. Edward Manet and Bert Morisot, who form a bit of a subplot in this book, were always reflecting one another's ideas in paintings. For instance, Bert Morisot did a painting of a woman looking at herself in a cheval glass, which is a freestanding mirror. And Edward Manet painted one as well, slightly different, but the idea the same. Pizarro, Monet, and Renoir used to paint side by side and paint the same scenes. They influenced one another because I think they talked an awful lot about art and what it meant to use light and the kinds of brushstrokes they were doing. But in Edgar Degas and Mary Cassatt's case, I believe that Edgar Degas influenced Mary Cassatt more than Cassatt influenced him, although I believe she was a huge emotional help to him. But he even once worked on the background of one of her paintings, Little Girl in a Blue Armchair, which was an extraordinary thing for her to let him do, and was a remarkable thing for him to have done because he was not a teacher of painting. So they collaborated very, very closely for many years.
Robin Olivera is the author of the best-selling novel My Name is Mary Sutter. Her new novel is I Always Love You. It is published by Viking. Robin, thank you very much for spending time with us this morning. A great pleasure, as always.
Oh, it was a great pleasure for me. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Again, the title of the new book, I Always Loved You, a novel that is published by Viking. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.